the book of Genesis, Genesis 45, verses 1 through 15. Listen to God's word. Then Joseph no longer could control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Send everyone away from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him. So dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer. He said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and a lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all you have, I will provide for you here, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty. And now your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my own mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father how greatly I am honored in Egypt and all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here." Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, while Benjamin wept upon his neck. And then he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them, and after that his brothers talked with him. Brothers and sisters, our New Testament lesson comes from the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. This passage is on Pew Bible page 791. Let us hear his word. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the word of our Lord. Brothers and sisters, let us pray. Mighty and gracious Lord, may your word be opened to us. May it light our path and guide our hearts today and tomorrow and all of the days to come. May your word be a light for all those who have been lost in darkness. Lead us, guide us, and keep us through your word, Lord. Hear this and lead us. Amen. This week, Sarah is over the river and I guess through the woods over in Claverick leading worship. And as most ministry couples can sometimes do, or at least we do, we sat down and had a conversation of the scripture, of the week's scriptures. And it went a little something like, Sarah asked me, Bill, what scriptures are you preaching on? What one in particular? And I told her that I was preaching on these passages. And then she shot me a look. It figures you would lean away from the happy one. I smiled at her, knowing that she and I each viewed these differently, and which one is necessarily happy in her eyes probably isn't necessarily happy in my eyes. And that's the limit of the conversation. That's it. Now, it might seem that there is this wonderful moment in Genesis, this beautiful moment, and it is pretty nice. Joseph has shown grace and love to his brothers, but as you read about it, there's something that maybe you miss in it that I miss too. When we look at his brothers, there are 11 brothers, right? And how many of them came before him and sought healing? Now, the whole situation that leads us to this moment is Joseph has planted something in his brother Benjamin's bags, and they thought Benjamin was going to be killed. They're worried, terrified. And then Joseph jumps out and says, hey, surprise, it's me, Joe. Not really that way, but the fact is Joseph was in the pit. Judah, remember him? He was all set to not kill him, but why should we kill him and get nothing? Let's send him down and make him a slave and make some money. Judah, on seeing that Benjamin is going to be jailed and possibly killed for this theft, comes before his brother and offers his life for his younger brothers. One brother out of 10. You see where I'm going here? I want a little something more from Joseph's brothers. I look at the 9 brothers that were kind of really in on the plot to kill him. Reuben was all for pulling him out of the pit after everything else was done. Benjamin, the youngest, wasn't there. But the 9 other brothers were all set to kill him. And only one comes and says, no, no, don't kill him. Kill me instead. Maybe it's the English minor in me, but I really want a little something more from them. I want them all to stand in front of Joseph and say, not him, not Benjamin, but us instead. I want something more. So while I love this moment, there's just a little something I want more. I want more faith from them. I want more action from them. I want them to be like the women from Cana. I want them to show that kind of love and faith. Now, our scripture in Matthew has some issues in it, so to speak. Now, as we navigate this passage, we need to first and foremost understand the relationship and depth of problems between the people of Judah, the descendants of Israel, Jacob, and the people of Canaan. There are thousands of years, book upon book of scripture, of animosity between these two groups. And so when we look at this moment and we see Christ walking as he does, and we see a woman who is hurting, needing, and afflicted, and he balks almost at healing her daughter. We need to ask some questions about why this is the way it is. After all, it's normal for people to cry out to Jesus. People cry out to him to heal. Some plead. Some rip the roof off a building to lower a friend down. Some just want to touch his robe. The message is very clear and is well known throughout everywhere in the region that Jesus can heal. Now, there's occasionally a teaching moment thrown into these healing moments. But there's tension here. Thousands of years of ethnic tension. And so we see Jesus first ignore the woman. Then we see the disciples getting angry because she persists. Now, the disciples getting angry because somebody persists at calling Jesus is both a common moment because they get really annoyed really quickly with a lot of people. You would think that they would learn their lessons, but even though you're close to Jesus doesn't always mean you're getting all the lessons, right? Now, the woman won't be dismissed. The woman won't give up. And yet the tension of people and history is there. Now think about that as Jesus even talks to her. Think about that tension that exists in the world and in the moment in that region as he talks to her. Now, I tried to come up with a pretty understandable metaphor of our own relationships that we could match up to this. And guess what? There isn't one. In the U.S., we don't have this. Democrats and Republicans, Federalists and states' rights, guess what? None of it reaches this ethnic animosity. This is thousands of years old. Thousands of years have been the Canaanites and the Israelites battling and fighting, sometimes with words and sometimes with swords. It's something that has to be dealt with and healed at some moment and at some point. And when we look at it, Jesus is almost heroic in speaking to this woman, as she is as well. Because they aren't just talking, they're crossing ethnic and cultural boundaries with each other and conversing. But in Jesus' words, he specifically points to his own specific mission. He points to the fact that God has sent him first to the people of Israel. We know that the mission grows after Pentecost. We know that Peter and Paul and the church will later grow. But the mission to the Gentiles, us, our ancestors, comes later. And so Jesus is not just being asked three separate times by this woman to heal her daughter. He's also asking him to deviate and go against the plan of salvation from God. And so God, in this moment, isn't just healing. God is healing the divides created by humanity. Jesus knows that there's a wider calling that will happen. Jesus, of course, knows of what's going to happen after the cross and the resurrection. Jesus' missions, with only a few exceptions, is to the general descendants of Jacob. That's it. The mission in here is for the particular to the general. He is in a particular region. Now, we might recoil at this missional context. We might sit back and say, well, but we want God right away to go wide. Okay. But this is God's plan. The woman has asked him not just to heal, not just to heal the boundaries and go across boundaries between people, but to deviate from God's course of salvation. There's something in this that also happens, that Christ does. Because at some point and moment, Peter and Paul and the church in general are going to face quite an uphill battle. They are going to have to fight tooth and nail after Pentecost to grow the church to the Gentiles. There is going to be pushback against them. We see that in some of the Pauline letters. Paul has to deal with former Jewish people who are now Christian, who have said, you have to become Jewish first before you become a Christian. So we're going to take that living out, living in on how you are supposed to live your lives, and we're going to narrow it down and make another step. Paul has to deal with that. Paul has to battle against that. And imagine how much harder he would have had to battle had Jesus not taken care of this woman. Had Jesus not also healed the Gentiles. Jesus, in this moment, shows how wide the church will become. Healing that little boundary that isn't so little. Bridging that gap between peoples and ethnic groups that had existed for thousands of years. Christ, in this moment, builds a bridge that Paul and Peter can later build even bigger. But Christ puts the first boards down with healing this woman's daughter. This is both about the beauty of this woman's persistence and faith, but it's also about the tearing down of human boundaries that Christ begins. How wide he opens his arms, the wideness and beauty of God's grace. That's the beauty of our scriptures today, is that wideness of grace. Yes, it is unfortunate that Joseph's brothers didn't all say, we're sorry, take us instead of our brother. You know, but look at the wideness, the magnitude of Joseph's grace. And then look at the greatness, the sheer magnitude of Christ's grace. There are walls between us still. And as the church, it is to us to tear them down. To tear down the human boundaries we have put up between us. It's sad that we have allowed these to exist. It's sad that we build them up as much as we tear them down. But we must follow Christ in how wide his grace is and how wide ours should be. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let us respond to God through our gifts.